As we've been had the opportunity to share, we started looking at family. Last time I was up here, we talked about blood and genetics, and this time we're going to talk about another characteristic of family that's rather important, and that's a history and traditions. You know, it's kind of interesting that we're talking about this. The kids were introduced to something that they had not experienced before. This last week, which was Fiddler on the Roof. And for those of you who know anything about Fiddler on the Roof, it is a movie, a play, a story about that deals with traditions. Traditions are very important. In fact, Somerset Maugham, who's an author, playwright, say tradition is a guide, it's not a jailer. In fact, Winston Churchill said, a love for tradition has never weakened a nation. Indeed, it has strengthened nations in their hour of peril. When we think about traditions, we all have, as our physical families, a variety of different traditions that we experience or we partake of. I know when I get together with my side of the family, my brothers and my folks, and we're all together, Meg, the kids, and I, and she gets to, and now the kids get to experience what Megan's experienced for many years, which is hearing the same five stories year after year after year after year after year. After year after year, because there's such great stories that, you know, you got to hear them over and over again. You know, wrestling before bedtime, that's a fun tradition, especially I think dads have. You know, your kids are getting ready to go right to sleep, they all quiet down, and of course that's just the perfect time to wrestle. You have your nightly devotions, maybe you do different games, you have your sports teams that you enjoy and you like. But you start to develop traditions. We see in the Bible traditions were important as well. See, when it came to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when Moses is re-giving the law, he mentions here in Deuteronomy 6, verse 20, he says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Basically, when your son comes and says, hey, Dad, why do we do this? Verse 21 says, then you will say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, and that he might bring us and give to us the land of which he swore our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we're careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded to us. So Moses, in the giving of the law, understood that there's going to be a point in time where kids are going to come up to the parents, to dad, and ask, Dad, why do we do this? Why are these our traditions, our statutes? And dad is going to say, well, son, here's why. God. See, Amy Griswold, who is a family life educator, says this. She says, traditions are stories, beliefs, rituals, and customs that are passed from one generation to the next. Keeping traditions for the holidays as well as ordinary days help teach children the things their family values. These traditions help fill the individual's need to belong. Being a part of the special things our family does helps us to have a sense of belonging. But what about our Christian family traditions? Well, you're here, aren't you? You're here because long ago, fellow Christians like you and I, in a different place, yet a different part of the geography of the world, maybe with their different culture, yet still Christians, received instruction about traditions and customs because they knew it was important. They knew it gave a sense of belonging. In fact, research shows us that routines and traditions are a part of healthy families. Paul understood that. Because in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, he says this, He says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, I hear you come together as a church. I hear that there's divisions among you." And in that part, I believe. See, Paul understood there's something unhealthy going on in our family, the body of Christ. For there must be factions among you, that those who are approved may recognize among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not know that do you not have houses to eat in and to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And then he shares the tradition that they're supposed to have. And when he shares it, he first says this in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord, our Father, the head of our family. He gave to us an institution, a custom. He wanted us to share. And so he gave it to me. Now I give it to you and I instruct you in this. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." See, traditions give security. They provide a sense of continuity. It's a routine that we can depend on year after year. And for thousands of years, fellow Christians have come together on the first day of their week in continuity, something that gave us security, a remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This activity has helped promote healthy relationships between the generations, because there are those here that are 90 that are partaking, and there are those here that are 13 that are partaking, and in between. It is something that binds us together. It's something that we can anticipate. It is a special experience that we're here. So as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as we remember that it was something that was ordained from the beginning of time by God himself, as we come with these special instructions to keep the bread and the cup, we're partaking of something that's healthy, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking, mentally speaking, physically speaking. We're here together because it's family. We have some very important traditions. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessing, Lord God. We thank you that as family, we remember that we share the blood. But Lord God, we share activities given to you by our Father, through the instructions of Paul and Christ and others, that as family, Lord God, throughout the thousands of years of Christ's family, we can come together and have security and hope to remember the redemption and sacrifice, the restoration that took place, the holiness, the sanctification. We thank you, Father God, that we can partake in this. We ask, Lord God, for your mercy and grace in all things, that as your children, we never forget your statutes, your commandments, your instructions, your traditions, your customs, your institutions that you want us to follow. We praise you and thank you through Christ Jesus. Amen.